All right, of course, this is Mother's Day, and as such, we have to have a Mother's Day sermon. It would be inappropriate not to, and so we want to preach on Mother's Day, and what a blessing it is. Mothers do so much for us, especially at this time right now where people are stuck at home and children are home and not going to school. The mother is not only doing the work that she normally does of, you know, caring for her home and all that kind of thing, but as well doing a lot of the teaching too and helping out with that and helping the young people with those things. And it's certainly a great burden that's upon them, but it is one that they willingly accept because that is the ministry they're given. And we're so thankful for our wonderful mothers and the work that they are doing. And as I was thinking about Mother's Day and, you know, what the mother is and the importance of mothers and how valuable they are, I was thinking about, you know, well, what is a mother? What is she doing? And what does the scriptures lay out for us as far as her activities and what a mother is? And of course, I thought of the verse there in Ephesians 6 where it says, honor thy father and thy mother. And certainly she is to be honored. And that is a wonderful thing. And so I wanted to think about some of the things for which the Bible tells us that we can honor our mother. What are some of the things that the scriptures lay out for us? And the first one that came to mind was in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 8. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. A mother is instructive. One of the things that the scripture lays out that we ought to honor her for is for her instruction. Mothers have a responsibility to teach young people, to guide them, to direct them, to instruct them in the right way to live. Not just in the spiritual things, they need to instruct them in that, is critically important, but they instruct them in social activities, how to get along in our society and fit into the culture that we are a part of. They instruct them physically how to behave and to act and to have right manners and to be polite and kindness. They are instructive. It is a job of mothers to give to children instruction. Now, children, I assume you, like I, probably didn't want to hear instruction all the time. You know, most of us are a little less willing to listen to instruction than we ought to be. And that really is a weakness within us. We ought to have a heart that says we want to listen. We ought to have a heart that says we want to be right. We want to do the right thing and we want to grow and go in the right direction. And your mother is giving you instruction and she's doing it because she loves you, because she wants the best for you. And she is giving you the instructions that she has learned and helping you to become the person of the Lord that you can be. And so a mother is an instructive person. She is someone who helps us to know the good and the right way. And that's a blessing that God has given to us. God has placed that into our lives so that she is someone who is there to show us and to teach us and to guide us and to help us to understand. Very often, mothers understand how to get across a message to a child much better than do teachers or other people. You know, it takes a long time sometimes for a teacher to figure out how to reach a particular child because some, you know, all kids learn differently. They don't all learn the same way. But the mother just instinctively knows how to teach that child and to instruct that child and what to give that child. And she gives that child the love and instruction that that child needs. And so a mother is instructive there in Proverbs 1 and verse 8. And thus she ought to be honored for that work that she does. But a mother is also caring. In the book of Luke, in chapter number 7, we read a story here of a mother who was in quite a bit of distress. In Luke chapter 7 and verse number 11, it says, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh unto the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and he touched the bear, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Now, at once, this is, you know, a very sad story, and yet it's a story of joy, too, because, you know, he's brought back to life. It's sad in that he died, and she was weeping and crying and all of those things. Certainly, that's a sad thing. It was a great blessing that he has brought back to life, and so, you know, at the end, it comes out all right. But I want to focus upon that little phrase that's there at the end. It adds, the scripture adds this sentence, and he delivered him to his mother. Isn't it interesting that the scripture adds that in? Here's a young man, just talks at the beginning and says he was a man. And so, you know, we assume he's 17, 18, 20, something in that age, you know, fairly mature for the culture. He's able to go out and function on his own. And yet, the scripture says, and Jesus delivered the young man to his mother. You see, Jesus understood the care that she had bestowed upon him. And that's really, I think, what touched his heart. For you see, Jesus would see people in the midst of going through grief probably daily. People are all the time passing away. People's hearts, you know, are broken over the loss of those who go on. And certainly we understand that. We know that people do have to die, that they do have to suffer. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We understand that. It's not exciting to us. We don't enjoy those thoughts, but we know it is part of life. And we take great comfort in the fact that those who pass hopefully know the Lord, and if they do, our hearts are comforted that they are with the Savior. But yet we still weep, we still sorrow, even though we sorrow not as others who have no hope. But there is still grief that is there. But this mother gets to have her child back, and as the Lord saw her, I think he was touched with her love for her child. And it says he had compassion on her. He saw her care. He saw her love. He saw the work that she had put into this child. And now she is left alone. No longer does she have her husband. She's a widow. He's passed away. And from what we know in the text, this may have been her only child. And here now she has lost this one. And she is discouraged, she is brokenhearted, she's weeping. Many people of the city are going with her to comfort her in the midst of this sorrow. And yet she is a woman who cared deeply for this child. And Jesus saw that care. And he went and he provided that child back to her so that she might continue that care. And you know, mothers are a caring group. They care for their children. They think about their children. They think about their needs. They consider them. They focus their minds and their hearts upon them. They think about what's going on in their lives, and they give of themselves constantly to provide for those children. They show their care daily through the sacrifices they make and the many things that they do. And thus a mother is to be honored, because a mother is one who truly cares for you. She focuses upon you like no other one does. And so what a blessing that we can have this wonderful gift of God, that we can be given mothers, and that we can have that mother who cares for us. But not only is the mother instructive and caring, she's also deliberative. Back in the book of Luke, in chapter 2, in verse number 51, in Luke 2:51, we read this. It says, And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things, sayings, in her heart. His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Now, this is, of course, the story where Jesus is a young man, and as such, he's, you know, 12, 13 years old, something along in that line. And he is going with his parents to Jerusalem as to go to one of the feasts. And it is a kind of a unique situation, one that's hard for us to understand, where the entire nation gets up and the whole nation moves to the capital city and the whole nation is there. And it's more of a celebratory atmosphere. It's like a giant picnic. Everybody is there. Kids are running around all over the place. Parents are not really necessarily watching super close to see exactly where they are. Everyone is there. It's a big deal. And this was kind of the situation that was going on. And at the time, you know, when the group that was come from Nazareth was going back to Nazareth, okay, you know, the Nazareth group is leaving, you know, the Nazareth bus, you know, and they've got the sign up, you know, everybody get on the Nazareth bus, as we would say. But, you know, they start to head out. And so, you know, they're calling out and everybody's heading out and leaving. And parents are, of course, finding the small children. But the older ones, you know, the teenagers are doing what the teenagers always do, you know, kind of lagging behind and, you know, all of those sorts of things. And so eventually they realize after a day or so that, hey, Jesus isn't here. Where is he? Uh-oh, we've lost him. And they hunt around and they can't find him. So they go back to Jerusalem and they find him. Where is he? He's not doing wrong. He's not goofing off with the teenagers. He's not misbehaving. He's doing what he was called to do. He is in the temple discussing the scriptures with those who are in the temple, the leaders of the temple. He's focused on the Word of God. He is about his Father's work. And they don't understand that. And so, you know, they bring him back. And it says, and he went with them, and he came to Nazareth. He was subject unto them. He listened. He obeyed. He did the right thing. He had not done anything wrong in all of this. And he was not doing anything wrong now. But it says his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. In other words, his mother was thinking about all of these things. Mothers think about their children. They consider them. They think about their feelings. They think about their proclivities. They think about their abilities. They think about their skills. They think about what they can do. And they are concerned for them. And they hold things in their mind and they focus upon them in a way that I don't think really fathers probably do. You know, we just don't tend to think about those kinds of things. We tend to focus on, you know, things in categories, and we just don't think on those things like mothers do. But here was a woman who was deliberative. She was thinking about her child. She was giving that child thought, considering him. Now, certainly she had a child that was different from all the rest of us. You know, we have children, and, you know, our children are sinners just like we are, and they do wrong just like we do, and we understand that, and, you know, we have to deal with that. Here was a mother who had to deal with a child who never did anything wrong, even though she did things wrong. So certainly it was difficult for her in those regards. But still, she kept those things in her heart. She was thinking about the fact that Jesus had to be about his Father's business. He was not like other children. He had to do the work of God. And it was not going to be easy for her to understand that, and to realize that he was going to have to go, and he was going to have to suffer, and he was going to have to bear the sins of the world in his own body on the tree, that he was going to have to die for their sins and be raised up a third day, that he was going to ascend up into heaven as still a fairly young man, and that she was going to have to probably live long after he would ascend back into heaven. These were difficult things, and she had to think about these things. She was deliberate. She thought about these things. And mothers do that. They think about their children. They think about their birthdays. They think about the things they like. They think about what foods they want to eat. They think about what would make them happy and what would bring them joy. You know, a mother is someone who's thinking about you. And that is a wonderful blessing that we have given to us of the Lord. And thus, a mother is deserved of honor because she is deliberate. Now, the fourth thing I thought about is that a mother is influential. And there's a number of scriptures here that I want to look at in regard to this three, to be specific, in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 16, in verse 44, we have a saying here, which at first doesn't seem to fit in, but I think it does as we consider it. Here in Ezekiel 44, "Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter." You know, one of the influences that a mother has is her example. We lead by example. So often children don't always get our words, but they get what we do. They see us, they see how we act, they emulate that, and it has a powerful influence in their life. A mother has a great example, and she is extremely influential in the life of her children. She is influential because of how she lives. Her children see that, and they recognize that, and the things that are important to you are things that become important to them. And that can be a scary thing to us as we think about the fact that someone else is watching me and looking at me and emulating me. And I realize that can be a scary thought. But the Lord will give us strength and will help us. And so go to the Lord and ask Him to help you to be the right example so that you are influencing those children in the right way, to show them the love of Christ, to give them a heart for a relationship with God. Children see those things. They see what's important to you. Whether being in the house of the Lord is important, or reading your Bible is important, or praying is important, they see those things, and they recognize what kind of a mother you are. And so we have an influence. Mothers are influential. They influence us, and they influence us, we hope, always for good. Doing those things. And I know that's the kind of mothers we have. Mothers who love the Word of God, mothers who love to pray, mothers who want to be in the house of the Lord, and mothers who just, you know, long to be back here with us. And what a blessing that we have such good mothers in our church. And so we're thankful for the good example that they give to the young people. But in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 8, we have another story of a mother who as well is influencing her child. And in verse 8 it says, "And she, being before instructed of her mother," and I'll stop right there because the story is not a good one. It is the story of a mother who was giving, in this particular case, some bad advice to a bad child. But we want to focus upon the fact here that she is giving advice. Mothers give advice. One of the things that will happen is that children get older, they're not going to know what to do on something, and they're going to come to you and say, "What should I do?" And you give them advice. And that's a wonderful thing, that children can depend upon a mother to give them advice and to use the wisdom that they have gained over the years to help them to know the good and right way wherein they should walk. And, you know, one of the things we learn as people over time is, you know, there's a right way and there's a wrong way, and this will work and this won't work. And we're able to give our children advice on so many things. Now, you know, with the new equipment and all that that's coming out, all the fancy cameras and fancy computers and all this junk that's going out, there's a lot of us older folk who maybe don't understand all of these things and how all this stuff works. And maybe we can't give a lot of advice to our young people regarding those things. But you know what? There's a lot of bad that's in these things. There's a lot of wickedness that's there, and there's a lot of temptation, and we certainly can give them advice concerning those things. To be on guard against the wiles of the devil, who lies in wait to deceive and to trick and to destroy us, to change us. You know, young people today want to be all over the internet, and they want to be all onto the Facebook and onto the various social network things, and they want themselves to be out there and be seen, and they often don't consider what's going on and the troubles that they can get themselves into. They just think they're being silly and foolish when in fact they're causing themselves great harm, and they don't see that. And so we can give them advice, and this is what a mother can do. She can give her children advice and help them to know the good and right way wherein to walk. Mothers can go to their daughters and say, this is the way you ought to act. This is the way you ought to be. She can go to her sons and say, this is the way you ought to act. This is the way you ought to be. She can instruct them and advise them in situations in life. And so mothers have a great influence. They have an influence through their example. They have an influence through the advice that they give. But there's one last one that I want to look at here in the scripture, and this is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. Here we see that she can be have a great influence by her sincere faith. Sincere has the idea of without hypocrisy. See, children are really good at picking up the hypocrisies that we have. They are really good at seeing what is the real us. And if we have a true and honest faith, they see that. They recognize that. They understand that. And that is a great, powerful influence in their life. She, this mother, Eunice, had a powerful influence in the life of Timothy. Because why? She had an unfeigned faith. There was nothing fake in her faith. She truly trusted in the Lord. In all circumstances, in all situations, she relied upon the Lord. And what an example that is. And these are days in which there's trouble and fear and people are scared and all those kind of things. And our children look to us and they say, are you afraid? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you scared? See, they look at us and they see those things. And we need to give them an example of a sincere faith, a faith that says, no matter what happens, I'm trusting in the Lord. Whether good comes or bad comes, I'm trusting in the Lord. I know that God has a plan, that God has a will, that God has a purpose, that He is working out all things according to His own counsel, after His perfect will, that will ultimately redound to His glory and my good. And so I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm not afraid. I'm dependent upon Christ. And what a blessing that you can have such an influence in the lives of your children. And what a blessing it is to have that wonderful influence in our own lives, where our mothers, by their demonstration of a sincere faith, taught us to believe and to trust in the Lord as well. And so these are four things that the scriptures lay out as being the jobs or the work or the things that a mother does. And thus, because of what she does, she is to be honored. She is to be honored for her instruction, for her caring, for her deliberation, and for her influence. She is to be honored. In other words, the honor that is due her is honor that is deserved. She deserves that honor. Now, maybe some lady might not feel like she does deserve honor, but she does. You do. I know not every mother has been perfect, just like every person hasn't been perfect. We all do wrong. We've all failed. We can all look back and say, oh, I messed that up. I should have done better. I know that. I understand that. But you're still worthy of honor. And our children need to understand that too. That your mother, even though not perfect, is still worthy of honor. And the mother is worthy of honor because of what she's done. She's instructive. She's caring. She's deliberative. She's influential. She is to be honored. She deserves it. And her honor is also commanded to us of God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, honor thy father and thy mother. It is a command. God has laid it out. We are to do it whether we think it right or not. Sometimes children might think in their hearts, well, why should I honor them? They haven't acted right. They haven't done the right thing. They haven't done good. And I know some very bad cases of situations where Christians have come from homes that were just abominable, where mothers were terrible and there was awful sin in the home and they weren't saved and they lived wickedly. And it's a struggle for a child to honor that mother. But you know, it is a command. God gave you that mother and you're to honor them, whether they were deserving of it or not. Now, I think in our church, the mothers are deserved. I think they have lived godly and righteously and good, and they are certainly worthy of honor. But even if there is someone listening who says, yeah, but you don't know my mother, God's command to you is still to honor her. You are to honor her because she was given that position and given by God the job of being instructive and caring and deliberative and influential. And to some degree, she accomplished that. And to know whatever that degree, she is to be honored because it is the command of God. And her honor is right. It is right to do what God says. It is always right to obey the Lord. And so we are to honor our parents. We are to honor our mother. And on this Mother's Day, I hope our children will rise up and give honor to their mother, that they will thank them, that they will praise them, that they will uplift them, for they are worthy of honor. Thank you, ladies, for all that you do for our church, all those mothers who are so faithful. We thank you for your hard work, for the labors that you put in, for all that you do. We couldn't minister without you, and we thank you for that. And we know that God will one day reward you gloriously for that. And so we honor you this day for what you have done. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the mothers that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the work that they have been given as laid out here in the Scriptures. We thank you, Lord, for how they are accomplishing these things and doing such a wonderful job. I again thank you for my own mother and the wonderful job she did. We pray that, Father, you will bless her and encourage her. And, Lord, bless every mother for the wonderful work they have done. We thank you, Lord, for them, and we ask for your blessing upon the rest of our day. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we thank you for coming today and being out for the service. We trust you have a great Mother's Day. Men, make sure you take those wives out. I know you can't really do that, but at least, you know, buy them a lunch. You know, go down to, what is it, Shea McAdee or, Burger Palace or something, and get them something, you know, at least, and be kind to them and honor them for their work. I hope you'll be back with us tonight, 6 o'clock. We have the evening service, and we're looking forward to the opportunity there to once again look into the Scriptures in Exodus in chapter 33, seeing what to do after we've lived after sin. What are we to do? Do we just lay around and complain and gripe, or do we just, what does God want us to do in these kinds of things? And it's laid out for us there. So hope to see you tonight at 6. God bless. Have a great afternoon.